Hello! Ball Tales, episode 2. Still listening to this, well done. My guest this week is Dan Kiss. Dan Kiss is a good friend of mine, wonderful comedy writer, and on balance, a decent person. Not to be mistaken with, obviously, Nigerian singer-songwriter Kiss Daniel. Let's just nip that in the bud right now. If you've tuned in for Kiss Daniel, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'll try and get him on later in the run. Dan's written on a ton of BBC stuff, The Leak, The Now Show, The News Quiz, Don't Make Me Laugh. He does stand-up, sketch comedy, tells jokes in conversation, in pubs, to friends and to strangers. I enjoyed this episode. I hope you will too. Dan Kiss.
Hello.
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 How's your day been?
It's been all right, mate. I had a barbecue.
Yeah.
Shall I repeat what I just said? To you without the microphone on?
Yeah, just ruin the magic straight away.
Yeah. I caught a boiling sausage. It was falling off the barbecue, rolled off, and I just... Someone came over me. I feel like, you know, they say when the pressure's on, the hero step forward, and I was there.
That's
and I just caught it mid-air, put it back on the barbecue.
I just got on with your day.
I've just got one hand.
I'm very glad you could join us after this horrific injury.
That's right,
yeah. We're here to talk about football. Mm. But not like current football,
right,
not like the Euros.
Yeah.
You're actually going to the Euros, aren't
you? I'm going to the Euros.
Yeah, mate, we're not talking about the Euros. Right. We're here to talk about old football when it was fun. You know, like in the days of school time, childhood football. The 90s, yeah, we're here to talk about the 90s.
That used to early noughties when football was at its peak.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's talk about your footballing career. What got you into football?
My dad's probably.
Yeah.
Just the general sort of, it was something that he did and liked. And sort of spoke about, and so I don't remember having that sort of epiphany moment, like Alan Shearer on an advert talking about, hey, the first time you go in the ground, and your dad holds you up, and he's like, I never had that moment. I just always remember, like liking it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't vividly remember the first time I went to a football match because it was.
You don't remember your first match?
Well, I remember my first. Like Premier League match.
All right, yeah.
But I think I must have gone to see like a Wales game or, you know, Cardiff City or something. My dad would have been taking me to see things from pretty early on.
Yeah.
And unless I'm just, I do remember my first match and just I'm assuming that I have been to football before.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
Because
maybe
my first match, even though I'm an Arsenal fan, like my dad, I went to see Man United versus Blackburn Rovers at Ewood Park. That's the right one.
Yeah.
Ewood Park, and in the Blackburn Rovers end, because we were on holiday, and my dad near Blackburn, and we just happened, you know, my dad just rang him up and said, "Do you have many tickets going?" Because obviously this was like
the '90s.
Yeah, 90s. So Premier League was like kicking off. So I don't think, you know, many grounds had that much trouble sort of selling out, particularly when Man United were in town. So. Me being Welsh and a fan of football, I liked, you know, it was at that age where I didn't realise I was scum for having any sort of admiration of Man United.
Yeah,
you know,
I was an
Arsenal fan, but Man United were winning stuff, so I always thought, well, they're good at football, and I really liked Ryan Giggs because he was Welsh.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that made me a fucking
subhuman
arsehole.
Scum.
Like, I do sort of blame my dad for not sitting me down and saying, like, this isn't all. He was one of those, like, oh, let him enjoy it. No, don't let me enjoy it. Tell me what's happening. Cause
exactly. So like,
I'd still wake up sweating.
Yeah.
As well. The guilt.
But neither of them were your local team, right? You grew up in Caerphilly.
Yeah, Caerphilly. And I was going to just watch the spectacle of Cardiff
City. Exactly. Yeah.
And standing on the Bob Bank with a pole in my wing. But for me, the love affair was Arsenal as my dad's team.
Yeah.
Should I explain why Arsenal?
Yeah. That's a good story,
Because I felt like I'd won that out of place, because, you know, loads of lads were, and my mates were supporting Premier League teams, and they were all Man United.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked Man United a bit because of Ryan Giggs and stuff, but they just were winning too easily all the time sort of thing. So I sort of shifted, I didn't shift, but I sort of properly went full Arsenal. Sort of must have been just pre Wenger.
Yeah.
So I think George Graham turned me onto it. I was like, I like a solid back four. That's what.
Yeah,
I want.
Yeah. This is going to be the way for 20 years. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know how much of it I was aware of then, but my dad's dad was from London, moved down to Abercynon to work and whatever. And so whenever my dad first saw football, he was going up to London with his dad to see his uncle, and they were all, you know, they had proper football clubs there. They didn't have some sort of, you know, Cardiff City in Division 3.
Yeah, you know, they were playing...
I know Cardiff City have the play history and stuff, but these were, you know, these were the ones my dad heard of, were on the radio sort of thing. And in the same week, my dad went to see Spurs at White Hart Lane and then Arsenal at Highbury. Right. And Shite Hart Lane is correct, according to my dad. Like, he said, as a kid, he just went, well, this place is a dump.
Yeah.
And was like blown away by Highbury.
Yeah.
And so that's why, and some of his family members supported Arsenal, and he just sort of sided with them and then would always, you know, listen to the Arsenal games on the radio.
That's so good, I've inherited
that.
You picked it up just from the architecture. Like that was
My dad was really into Art Deco as an 8-year-old.
The feng shui here is all right. Yeah. So I think I'm going to stick with these guys forever. Exactly. I like that. That's cool. When did you first start playing football? Because that's what we're really here to talk about is, you know, is your career as a footballer.
My career as a footballer, I first signed for Caerphilly Leisure Centre, five-a-side, or something like that. I can remember one of the earliest games.
Yeah. How old are you at this time? Like
This would have been, like, really young. Like,
oh, right. Okay.
How young are you allowed to go play football with your friends?
I don't know what the legal age is.
You? Like, well, you know at the point where, like, it comes down to, like, one or two mums can watch a group of you?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's safe. Is that six?
Yeah.
Five, six?
Maybe
like
earlier, yeah. Five, maybe.
Five, maybe. I think it was then, because I vividly... And this is quite embarrassing, but I do vividly remember, because I'd obviously got what sport, like football on the TV.
Yeah.
Like, and like seeing it in real life, I got how it worked there, but then the football I'd been playing was just like a free-for-all. And I vividly remember coming home and saying to my dad, it's like, we have to only tackle the opposition as well. I didn't realise that I was meant to play in teams as well. Like, I'd always been just like playing in a field where it was like four of you and you all wanted the ball at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was just going around. So I was just went to this hall and we went to like, and it was like the first match there. And I was just running through areas. You know, I was going
around.
Tearing
about the park.
Like Lee Catamol.
Yeah.
Indiscriminate. Wiping people out. And then someone had to say, you're wearing a yellow bib, you shit. Or whatever. And then I went, oh, right, I've got to do that now. And then that really clicked. Like, I was, actually playing football now rather than just kicking a ball around.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not all about you. It's not all about having the ball.
Yeah,
that is quite a sea change of
was a moment. So that's when I probably started playing. And then I was in Beavers. Do you know Beavers?
Not personally, no.
Beavers is like, it's like the prequel to Cubs.
Oh, wow,
because
it
goes, so Beavers, Cubs, Scouts. So it's sort of, you know, you can see what they're doing there.
Yeah, oh, that's, yeah.
And so
I... Like Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. So I was in Beavers, and but they didn't do football teams, but I was doing it because they sort of organised for you to go walk in a wood.
Yeah.
And throw sticks for fun or whatever. And I was like, oh, this would be quite good. And my dad thought it might be fun to do something like that. And I was going to, like, quit Beavers. I was like, this is shit. It's all full of, like, losers and, like, togs and whatever.
Yeah,
and my dad were like, well, if you stay on to Cubs, you get to play football in the proper Cubs team. Like, there's a league. Everyone, like, each sort of set has their own team.
Yeah.
And you can play in a division and you, like, properly. And I went, all right, then. So I stayed on and did Cubs purely so I could join the football team. Because that was sort of... In Caerphilly, there weren't... I don't think there was a football team for my age group other than the Cubs football team. So
I
was... First Caerphilly,
That's good.
First and second Caerphilly, and then we were in a league with like other Cub teams.
Oh, that's clever. I like how your dad just gave you the word. Just like know, like there's no football for you out there, son.
Yeah.
You stay with the Cubs.
Don't bother practicing in the garden.
Yeah,
sticking on your Ryan Giggs skill video.
Yeah,
which I did have like a Ryan Giggs towel. I can vividly remember sort of like that point in the 90s where I was like, no, this is enough. I just came to the stairs and went, why is this in my room? I was like, oh, you like Ryan Giggs? It's like, you play some Man United?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And I was just like,
I'm just imagining
shit,
like Ryan
Giggs. You've just become a hooligan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's when you get really, sort of vitriolic. And,
yeah,
sort of, you're not my real
team. You're not my real player.
I'm very imagining the Ryan Giggs skill video of like just sort of it subtly showing him like how to have an affair.
Just in sort of sliding up to women. I'm going, when's he going to use a football?
Yeah.
Dad, Ryan Giggs has put his penis in someone else that's not his wife.
Skills.
I'm going into that game and instead of like tackling the people on my team, like on the opposition team,
I'm just
going around trying to like buy him a drink.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, kind of Giggsy.
Yeah.
So you played for Caerphilly Leisure Centre.
Caerphilly Leisure Centre was just like, they just had their
venue.
Sports hall.
Yeah, I'm with
you. So I went there.
You don't play against
like
the leisure centres.
Yeah, and so it was just like the sort of for our age group, they just say like any, you know, five to whatever, and it was just like probably a corner of the leisure centre. They just gave you a soft ball and said, right, play football, U5, and
yeah,
play around, whatever. And so it was proper playing like in a team.
Yeah.
Was Cubs, sorry.
Okay, so like it wasn't until Cubs where you had like a proper position, I guess, before it was just sort of running around.
Yeah,
like
before it was just running
Robbie
around.
Robbie Savage's.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, cool. So where did you play when you got to Cubs? Where was your position?
So Cubs, I was on the right wing.
The right wing?
Yeah. Because I think I was one of the faster in the team.
Yeah.
So, and I used to just sort of like kick it. Like kick it straight down the line and then kick it at the goal.
Oh yeah,
you know,
okay.
It was basically
classic right wing.
Two kicks, two kick kiss.
That's all Beckham really did.
Yeah. I was like, I thought I was over Mars or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was going for. So yeah, I can remember I was right wing, but I don't know how long that lasted. But that was like,
is this like five aside, seven aside?
This is probably about seven, eight aside, something like that.
Cool.
You know, they were bigger numbers. I don't think they were full 11s, just because I remember sort of playing for Cubs and thinking I'd like to play in a full team.
Yeah, like a proper...
Yeah,
like
even though in my memory of like I've, you know, I could, it just feels like I'm, the memories feel like they're in a full match.
Yeah.
I do remember the thought of, at that time, wanting to like
progress,
go up a level to play in a bigger, into like 11v11 team.
Yeah, so what was the team like? Who was like, what's the standard? Do you remember any of the players?
I only remember the players because they were like my friends from school.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I was like a lot of like
boys
I knew went to either first Caerphilly or second Caerphilly Cubs, essentially for the same reason. We all went to just join the
But you can remember
teams.
Them as people. Do you remember them as players? Because they're very different. Like, your role on the pitch can be really different to your role in society.
I don't really remember that. Not at that age, I don't really remember the players.
The sort of personalities.
No, I just
like Matthew
remember...
Flamini, you know, off the pitch, he's like a philanthropist, genius inventor.
Yeah,
on the pitch, he's a
he's
pointy
a
man.
Pointing No, I don't remember the players. I think this is, you know, I was never destined to be a footballer because I just seemed to judge people on whether they were quick or not. I basically the Theo Walcott School of
football.
It's like the faster you are, the better you are. And that seemed, Joey, you know, that level, that seems to work. Like, if you're really quick, you just kick it and
go after it
faster than everyone else. And that seemed to be strength. I can't really remember a specific player or anything at that time. The thing I do remember about it is the coaches were... I have no idea what their names are. I mean, I'm sure they're like long dead.
Why would they be long dead?
How because they were grey-haired men then.
Okay,
so
right.
I'm assuming grey hair in the 70s. In the 70s, too. Come back a bit. Grey hair in the 90s, dead after the noughties.
Red sky at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead after the noughties. That's good, So were they people's parents? Because coaches tend to be people's parents.
They weren't actually. I think they were.
That's weird.
I think that what they were is they were parents of previous generations who just sort of looked after the football team.
Oh, right.
Because it wasn't that the people.
It's
that
Cubs.
Cubs. The one like R. Kayla came and did the football.
Yeah.
The Cubs football team were run by two separate blokes who I think must have been in their like late 50s, early 60s. Then.
Yeah.
And they were called Mr. A and Mr. B.
What the people? They were called Mr. A and Mr. B.
Yeah, that's why everyone called them Mr. A. And
were they on
B.
witness protection?
Yeah, that's what I think. So, yeah, I think they'd killed someone, a previous player.
It's all right, we're going to protect you. You just need to coach these young boys in Caerphilly,
and then
they won't find
that's
you.
That's the sitcom. It's basically two football hating rugby nuts get put into witness protection, but in order for the lie to fit, they have to go and teach these insubordinate little
And they're being
shit.
Found out now on this podcast. That's amazing.
Exactly.
I'm glad to uncover the truth. It's like cereal.
They did always disappear when you hear the helicopter.
Yeah. We did hear a lot of helicopters, which is also odd. Yeah.
That's just good feeling. It's just, you can't muck around. But yeah, that was sort of, you know, the era of halves of an orange and stuff at
You stumbled,
and they
put
like a cotton bag, you know, cotton bag full of like orange halves,
which
Mr. B's wife had done for us in the morning.
Yeah.
And then one kid would take the kit home and you know.
We stumbled onto one of the quickfire questions, which I was going to drop in every now and then. It was just simply halftime oranges, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Because like James Dunn had problems with halftime oranges and actually suggested halftime Jaffa cakes, which is something that happened in Newport.
Well, I mean, if you've ever met James Dunn, you can see how that works.
Well, so halftime oranges or halftime Jaffa cakes?
Halftime oranges for me, I love the juiciness of it. Like, I'm not against a Jaffa cake, but I just think that would just mat up. Like, I've just been sweating and dehydrating. I don't want just to be running around with, like, confused, like a wannabe biscuit in the top of my mouth.
Exactly. It's like, it's the word cake as well. You don't like just get off the pitch like, who's for cake?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not cricket.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have
a Victoria sponge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for warm up.
Yeah.
So you don't, like, Lucozade don't do chocolate fudge cakes.
No, but like, let's not give them ideas because that might be our product.
Yeah.
That might be great.
Just write, we'll just cut this bit out.
Just write it down. Okay, that's. Yeah. I think that's one all between Half Done Oranges and Jaffa Cakes.
Okay.
I'll be keeping score throughout.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so did you move on then from Cubs? Did you ever get to play the dream of the 11-a-side?
I did. There wasn't really Scouts football. It sort of died after Cubs. It was weird. It was just that middle-aged group, which is sort of...
Both the coaches got arrested. It was really strange.
Yeah. Mr.
Yeah.
A, Mr. B just seemed to be... being hung in the right that was weird. I don't think there were scouts, and I think I was just like, there must be another team I can join now, so I don't have to pretend to like compasses or something, you know, to get in. So,
did you get any badges for playing football, just going back?
No.
No?
No, you got badges for like...
tying knots.
Yeah, like tying knots and helping old women.
Yeah.
I did one football-related story and helping old women, bring it together.
Wow.
What in the Mr. A, Mr. B era... do you remember this won't go in, but I wasn't going to tell you this because I just remembered it. Do you remember there was a bank,
bear in mind I control what goes in, but carry on.
There was the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I do remember.
Didn't
the
they have a song called Goodbye Mr.
Goodbye,
A?
Goodbye Mr. A,
yeah. I used to always think like,
was it out at the time?
No,
no, it wasn't.
The
I'm
Hoosiers
trying to work out
would have been about 10 years after I was playing for.
Yeah, so it could have been based on the actual Mr.
Yeah,
A.
Yeah, it could have been, they could have known him.
Yeah. You don't remember your teammates, so maybe the Hoosiers
were... Yeah, maybe the lead singer. There was a guy with a massive head up front, so maybe that was him. But, so after Cubs, I was like, there's got to be a team I can join.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, Philly United, and there were a few teams. And then there was one that seemed to be looking for members called Caerphilly Cannons.
Caerphilly Cannons.
Because we got a castle, and so they sort of made the link there. And the badge was just, like... a very badly drawn version of, because the castle's famous for its leaning tower.
Right.
So someone just like, you know, obviously not even Google Images, just got like a textbook from a library.
Yeah, just tracing papered it. Yeah.
I was going to tell you the old woman, Mr. A connecting football story.
Do it.
Basically.
I'm a great editor.
So I went, I'm basically treating this like Pulp Fiction. Right?
This is the memento of podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Once you get to the end and listen back through, it'll all make sense. So, me and my dad were going out. I was running late for football, for the Cubs game. And we got there, and it was in a place called Morgan Jones's Park in Caerphilly, which is next to our library, which I think people have done gigs at now, like those silly cream egg gigs happen in this library.
Oh, comedy gigs. Oh,
yeah,
right,
comedy gigs. And anyway, I went there, and I could just see this thing sort of moving up in the distance, sort of in a... looked like it was in a white sheet or something.
Yeah.
I went, what's that? I went, oh, we haven't got time, come on, we need to go. I was like, it's moving. I sort of like moved a bit forward, like 10 yards further out. I was like, it's waving. And my dad was like, it was near like November, so I was like, it's just a guy someone's left, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy Fawkes. So my dad didn't think it was just like, it's just a bloke, just
yeah.
leave him.
Yeah, just
so
leave
I went up, and
dad.
There was an old woman who slipped coming out of the library and like landed on her hip. And couldn't get up. She like shattered her hip and was like lying on its side. And obviously, it was at like Sunday outside a library, so it wasn't the busiest place in the world. So I don't think anyone had come past for like 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So she was waving. I was in like St. John's Ambulance at this time as a kid. Like me and my sister used to go.
Yeah.
So I sort of knew what to do.
Wow.
So I sort of made her comfortable.
Yeah.
Called an ambulance. Got like my dad's coat, and my dad was like, good, but we are still late for the football.
Oh, yeah.
My dad knew he'd have to explain why we were late for the football.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was it. So anyway, I just helped this one. We got an ambulance along and...
don't you see that from young footballers today?
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's what they teach you in Caerphilly, in the Cubs.
Now you get media training and stuff.
That'd be great. Like, media training for youth football, for like parents on the touchlines.
Exactly. How did it go today? Oh, you know, at the end of the day, Mum, I just got to get my head down and... concentrate on my football now.
Yeah,
you know, I've been out for a while. It's been the summer holidays and we haven't been playing. So
soon to be over the moon. over the moon.
Yeah.
So like in the Caerphilly Cannons is your 11-a-side. Are you still on the right wing?
No. So here I am moved into the centre of the park where I can dictate play.
Oh my goodness.
And
we've got a talent on our podcast.
This will last about two games because I cannot play football. So what happened is I got moved into the middle, and basically our coach was the guy called Louis, one of these fancy foreign managers.
Sorry, what? In Caerphilly?
Yeah, in Caerphilly, Louis. And he was like a fancy foreign manager. He was one of the kids' dads, but he was like, he was Greek or something.
Okay.
Sammy.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a bit of Sammy about it.
Yeah, we'll research that.
Yeah. No, but I think he was Greek.
Yeah.
But the reason, because his son was born in Caerphilly, so he seemed as Caerphilly as anyone.
Yeah.
So I did, and I knew his son better than I knew Louis, so I just...
That's normal,
at that
isn't
age,
it?
Like, I just sort of went... Think he's Greek, you know. I wasn't like, what's your father's heritage?
I was gonna say, it's normal that you know his son more than it would be weird if
you
knew his dad.
Hanging out
just
with his dad a bit,
best pals.
And he introduced me to his son who plays football.
Yeah, yeah, that would be strange. So, where did his son play in this team?
So, his son played at left fullback, and then I got moved. I ended up getting into playing centre half.
Oh, right,
because the one thing I did, because my this is the reason I got into Louis is his. His name was Louis, and his tactic for me when I was in the middle, he's basically like the Greek Harry Redknapp. He just wanted me to run around a bit.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Was like, you know.
Is that your Greek accent?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my Cypriot. And and he just wanted me to, you know, chase the ball around, essentially.
Yeah.
And win it back, sort of thing. So I got into the knack of being quite good at sort of defending and tackling.
Well, it's good. It's like the pre-Cubs days when you just run for the ball yourself.
Exactly, you know, yeah. I was able to do that, but... Then I started to learn that I didn't, you know, if I waited and picked my moments, I wasn't knackered after 5 minutes.
Ah, yeah.
And so I started to work that out.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he wanted someone with a bit more energy or saw my talent. Yeah. But he moved me out of midfield and started playing me in defence then. And then that's where I sort of found my position.
That's where you made your name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're a centre-back.
Yeah, left centre-back.
Wow, so you've got the right wing. You've moved about.
Yeah, this is good.
This is good versatility.
And so essentially my job was, I was almost like second left back because Joe, who was Louis' son, was not very good. But he was good enough to like delay them by a few minutes if anyone was coming up the wing, and that would give me enough time to come over. So by the time they thought they got round him, I was waiting.
I see.
And I'd essentially go through the ball them and it'd go out for a throw in. I'd be like, defending! And that'd be it, you know. I could pass the ball. I was all right at passing it. So if I wasn't afraid to look up.
Yeah.
But I was essentially the league you're in. You know, it's got to be no nonsense. You can't think about there. So
no, that's good. So like, who was the captain of this team?
The captain was it would have been Lee, who was next to me, my centre half partner.
Oh, that's good.
But he was an A grade lunatic. he was generally a menace to society. He was.
I'm worried about where this is going.
Yeah, he is a dangerous man. Like, if you want to cut out bits, here's the point. He, you know, this lad was like, as we got a bit older, like he added a probation officer and stuff like that because he got off his face on some pill that he was given, and him and his mate went around. I told you about this before, but obviously the people listening at home,
they've got no idea.
The listeners, the listener James Dunn.
Yeah,
I'll listen to his. Him and his mate went around cutting, like, with a penknife, cutting open the top of soft top cars. And it's got to only be, like, 3 in Caerphilly total. So they did a lot of walking to find them.
Or convertibles, as he calls them. Like,
And he just went around, cut open the top, and poured paint inside.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the captain of your team.
Yeah, and he was the captain.
He's the face of your company.
He was the one who always, like, there was a lot of scrapping in the league.
Yeah.
And it mostly started by Lee. Even when he wasn't at the game. So I was sort of, he was the one who was the hothead.
Yeah.
And I was like the level-headed one. So, because I was really good mates with him as well. Like, we used to hang out outside of football a lot. Like, we were in the same group of friends.
Yeah.
So he was the mental one in my group of friends and in the football team. So it was good. I didn't know 2 absolute lunatics.
Yeah, that's good. So buying Dulux paint cans together, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Like. Yeah. I was just, why are you so interested in all these colour charts? I don't get it.
You and Lee at the back.
I was sort of the one who tried to sort of organise a bit more and hold, like,
so you're like, he's Keown and you're Tony Adams, basically.
Although
he's got the armband if Keown asked for the armband, you wouldn't be able to fight him off it, would you?
Exactly. Yeah, like, paint over you. I think he was just like, I'm sort of a less vocal Tony Adams in that, I'd call the line away, but I'd speak to my fullback, speak to Lee, and speak to the people in front of me. But it'd be like sort of like a keep your eye out, or, you know, whatever. It wouldn't be like a, Lee was the proper, like, you fucking,
Screaming This would be a really good like segue if you had like a horrible alcohol problem in your youth football, but you don't, so it's not.
I mean, I could pretend.
So when you woke up in that gutter.
So after I'd thrown up in the middle of the in the centre circle for the cup final, I thought, you know, this has gone too far.
You do have an amazing story about a man on a corner flag that I've previously heard.
Oh, yeah.
Did this happen for the Cannons?
Yeah, this was Caerphilly Cannons.
This should be explained.
This is when you went round. So in the league we were in, you know, you went to some dodgy places. Like you went to a place called Vokru, which is like, it's a town on a hillside. But they've built it, you know, they've built it themselves, so they could have planned ahead. And essentially, they put so little effort in that they just built the football pitch at an angle. Even though they managed to make the houses, you know, flat, flatten things off of the houses, they just built the football pitch with like proper metal fences around it and everything, and they had grass and corner flags, and they just like left it on an angle. It was, you know, tilting about, well, what's that?
Like, I mean, the listeners don't know.
Sorry, I'm doing it to you. So then I've given you the video.
35 degrees. Yeah,
35 degrees. It was about tilting that much. It was really, you know, the ball would just roll down. You know those things you get in pubs where you have to try and, like, guide the ball into the hole?
Like tilting.
If you just tilted it left to its most extreme point and then left it there, that's what this football pitch was like.
Right, okay.
So there's places like that all around. But the worst place we would go to was Grigoraca. And one time we went there, and we turned up to the pitch, and there was a tent on the corner flag, like where the corner flag should be, and we hung around for a bit and seeing if the person would wake up, and you know someone kicked a ball at it and the tent didn't move, you know, so someone went over thinking, well, there might not be anyone in it. I think it was the referee or someone went over and like sort of knocked on it and it got unzipped, and he sort of said, You're on the pitch. We need to play a game.
Yeah.
And the guy just said, well, my wife's left me, and like zipped it back up and just went back to sleep inside. He was like drunk, but like hungover, you know, was just drinking away. Sorry, I was in a tent on the corner flag.
And how old were you at this point?
I was probably, this is around like the 13, 14 age. You know, this is those sort of two seasons, like 13 to 14, 14 to 15.
Yeah, that's when drunks start sleeping on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've all seen it. That's when you start going up the league.
Yeah.
The age groups, you start playing like, like we played this one team and they had a guy up front called Sheepy. Right. Bear in mind, we're all about 15.
Yeah.
This guy has got to be about 14 stone and 9 foot tall. And got a beard. There's no way he is in our age group.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's looked so massive and so hard that no one wants to question him for that. And so so basically we played with a man sleeping in a corner flag.
That's amazing.
And this pitch used to have, you know, quad bike tyre tracks through it, so the ball would get stuck in like grooves because kids had just been driving over the pitch all weekend on their quad bikes. And then when we'd come up, you know, it'd just be all dug up.
Yeah.
So there was no flat surface, so you'd just sort of be, every time, around the goals would be all sort of, you know, a pile of mud, so every time people would just be like snapping their ankles every time they went for a shot because they'd just be essentially kicking it further into the ground.
Jesus. And then you got tents to deal with and just
broken
homes.
So we basically just took all the corners in that match from the other side.
Is that so? Oh, I didn't realise he stayed on.
We played the match. He just would just stay in the tent. He was like right up, you know, he wasn't, say, the corner flag right there. You know, the sort of like D
bit
of spray they have. He was just sort of like over that. Like the edge of his thing was over that.
Yeah.
So there were there's quite a bit of it around him, but he was essentially,
that's crazy. Like he's some like weird like UEFA sixth official who's like just camping out in a tent.
Exactly. Just like them, he wasn't even paying attention. Never saw anything.
It's good to have a bit of satire on the show.
And it was, you know, it was Grigoraca as well, where they were fighting between the dads on the same team, like on their team. One of them came, we were playing, and one of them came down and said, like, this other guy would sleep with his wife, and they just started having a massive fight. Like, our match got delayed, so the dad's
for an extraneous fight.
Yeah, yeah, and then the referee, like, phoned the police or whatever, they came up, and then there was more trouble, and the next time we played them, there was more trouble again between the players and some of the dads.
So were you, like, looking forward to these matches, knowing that some,
no,
like,
I
huge...
No, I was
but then, like, some huge domestic would happen every time. It's like a soap. That sounds brilliant.
Because I was a defender.
Yeah.
And what they'd do, essentially, the way they seemed to pick their team was the biggest shit would go up front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one who was the most terrifying, horrible,
intimidating
Arsenal would go up front, because at the back they just stick the fat ones.
Who
could throw themselves about a bit, and then up front they'd have...
It's jocks versus nerds up there,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah,
like, it's terrible.
And so I was always having to, like, because Lee had basically been sent off in like 10 minutes every little point. It was guaranteed, you know. He'd see red first time the kid have a pop something.
Yeah.
There was one time, it wasn't Grigoraku, we were playing the team, and the kids were sort of like warming up as they went round.
Yeah.
They were sort of running around the pitch, and our warm up was like sitting on the side drinking some squash. They came past, and the one kid like kicked Lee in like the back.
Like, that doesn't sound like a good idea, based on what I know about Lee. Yeah, if I know Lee at all, you don't kick him in the back.
Basically, he was trying to like rile up the players.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Lee had like, used to have long hair as well, and wear like an Alice band in, like Gareth Bale now. So people would think, right, he's the soft one, and the team one.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
He did it deliberately to like lull them in. Like, yeah. He was so up for fighting.
Like one time he just like wears pigtails just to really, really scrap.
Lee was so up for fighting. There was one point in the summer where he tried to grow his big toenail into a point. he was cutting it into a point, and he was going to slice open the front of his boot so it could stick out like a little...
Like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
So, but anyway, this kid came around, and he kicked Lee in the back, like just a little dig. Yeah. And there was a few of them sort of like having a little pop and like coming past. I think I was standing up with one of them, like kicked me in the shins, whatever. Yeah. I had shin pads on, but they were just trying to like sort of intimidate you a bit.
Yeah.
I was always a bit like, I was playing for a team called fucking Philly Cannons. Like, why are people? I really enjoy it. Like, I love playing football, but I never got so into it that I was like concerned about where we were in the league.
Yeah, you hadn't joined a firm.
Like, I wasn't like incensed.
Yeah,
because some players left our team because they were. Felt like they were too talented to be in our team.
It's about ambition, isn't it?
And they call themselves the Caerphilly All-Stars. Oh. And we played them and beat them.
Whoa, now that needs more explanation. That's a huge story.
I'll come back to that. The guy came around and kicked Lee. And then basically, Lee went, well, fuck. Like, what was that, mate? And then the guy, so this was before the game now, warming up.
Yeah.
And the guy went after the match, thinking like that would be the end of it. And Lee went, no, now. Grabbed his shirt and just punched him straight in the teeth. The guy had braces, so Lee cut his like knuckles.
Oh my God.
So Lee got a red card before the match even started. That guy was then like bleeding profusely from the face, so couldn't play. And so...
So you're down to 10 men before the match begins. Does Lee get replaced?
What happened is, I think we were allowed to like sub someone in.
That's a very kind referee.
Yeah. This referee was basically just like, he is not coming on this pitch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he didn't like get the red card or anything. Yeah. He was just like, he's off.
And that ref is obviously dead now.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't mess with Lee.
No. He's just died from a toenail injury. Yeah.
Very common in Caerphilly, aren't they? Yeah.
Last thing, the one time I was playing for them and we actually fielded too many players. So subbing an extra person wasn't a problem. We got fined because we started with 12 players.
I mean, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's good coaching.
We all started playing.
Yeah, I think the coach realised.
And then the ref counted after about 15 minutes and realised that we had 12 players and one of us had to just walk off the pitch. Because Louis had gone round, because the way Louis would pick a team, he'd just go, this is, I promise now, this isn't a racist impression. This is an accurate...
Edit point now.
I promise now, this is exactly how he would speak. He would go, okay, midfield, 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 defence, 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 up front, like that, and just shout it. And then his like words of encouragement from the side would just be, who wants it? Who wants it?
That's who wants it.
First man, midfield. Like when we were like losing the ball, he'd just shout, midfield. It's like,
yeah.
The goalkeeper's got it.
Just shouting at a general area of the pitch.
Yeah, he's just shouting, it's just like, fullback. Yeah. I know that position. Yeah, just naming them.
Oh, Louis.
So Louis was great, but he didn't have a clue. He once drove like half hour to a game with a handbrake on in his van. We had to leave him there so we could get someone to come out and fix his van. Could move on.
He sounds like a visionary.
So anyway, Lee punched that guy.
Lee punched that guy is the moral of that story. Oh my God. You not mess with Lee. Oh, that's what I've learned here.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you wear socks above or below the knee? That's another quick fire, yeah? Below.
I couldn't do the Omri.
Yeah, I said it to James Dunn, it was the Omri, and he was adamant that it had been implemented before, but yeah, that's good. Below. Yeah,
I wore them just below the knee. Like,
yeah, proper. you don't.
You know, I wasn't gonna be, you know, Alex Iwobi or Jack Grealish about it and just have like, you know, rolled up.
Yeah, just
You know, I wanted the shin pad protection.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming up against some genuinely dangerous than that is.
Yeah, you probably got like industrial strength ones in Caerphilly.
Oh, like, I generally had like steel.
Very hard to move.
A bit of steel. Like, yeah. I couldn't run. It like cut into my legs. Terrible.
It caused you more harm than it would have done if Lee had stabbed you with his toenail. Anymore, but great days.
No one's got their studs down on the front.
Fancying days. Yeah, see, the real reason you've been brought to this podcast is because I'm building a team.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that's what this is all about. At the moment, I've only got one person on that team, and that is James Dunn.
Yeah.
He's playing defensive midfield. I'm guessing that, you know, he's tried to claim the sort of Pirlo role for himself.
Okay, right, yeah.
So that's where Dunn is currently.
So deep line playmaker, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's where he's sitting. Oh, he's the first name on the team sheet. Obviously, this is all up for change. Yeah. I'm guessing you're going to slot in quite nicely at centre back, though. I'm not sure if there's going to be competition with Dunn. Got ambitions.
Just get up front. Just go straight up front. I'll be target man.
Yeah, all right.
I'll play centre half.
You're going centre half.
I can help Marshall Dunn in front of me.
That's good. And like, yeah, depending, I might try and get Lee on this podcast so you can get your own teammate.
Well, he's in the army now, I think. He's generally killed men. Both during football and...
He's just in the army for like legal reasons. He's killed men, it's
safer if he's in Helmand Province.
I'll tell you what, that'd be great if I go and entertain the troops.
Yeah.
Just do a podcast with Lee.
Do one.
That'd be excellent.
Straight from Count Bastion. Count Bastion.
I think that's the vampire.
Yeah, the Schwansteiger.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there is still one issue though. Like, obviously at the moment James Dunn is the captain of the team.
Okay.
And now you need to make your case for why, you know, if you want to be, why you should be captain of the team over James Dunn. Because, like, we've got to fill this team and we've got to get the best possible captain. I can't just give it to Dunn because he was first. Why should you be captain of this great team?
Well, I mean, years of experience. I've played the game a number of positions. I feel that I have a good grasp of the game overall.
That's true.
I keep a cool head.
Yeah.
You know, in all my years, I think I got a yellow card once.
What was it for?
I think it was because there was one, like, I think the ref gave a penalty against me and I was stood there with a ball at my feet. And I was showing him how claiming I'd given away a penalty, they had defied physics. And that's when I got booked.
Oh, I see.
But that was the one time. I'm pretty much John Charles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're very, you're a gentleman on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm a gentleman. And I just say, you know, I'm a cool head. I think I understand the game well. From my position, I can read it. You know, I've just got the keeper behind me.
We don't know who that is yet, but I think
would be, you know, I can, you know, I think James, just position-wise, you know, it's going to be hard for him to marshal everything from where he is.
Like, yeah, in holding
vice captain, I can relay messages to him.
Okay, that's interesting. You know? Yeah, so that's why you're better than Dunn as the captain, you think?
Yeah, I could see James sort of as a leader in the way he plays, not necessarily. In the way he guides the team, you know, his performance will lift.
Yeah.
But you need someone there who's talking the team through it all the time and not shouting, not losing it with them, not going full Lee on them.
You've seen Lee and you've learnt from Lee. Lee.
Yeah, I can take the best of Lee. I can take the commitment and the determination to win.
And the toenail sharpening.
Yeah, and the toenail sharpening. I know a few tricks. I know a few dirty tricks, like shouting midfield.
Yeah.
In a high-pitched racist impression.
That's pretty good. Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you. I think I've heard enough.
I think you're the captain of this team.
Brilliant.
And next week we'll see who can try and take the captaincy from you. But
I should imagine no
one. Yeah, well, probably not. But you're currently captain, so it's you and James Dunn in the team.
Can I sit in on the next one?
As
captain, I feel like I should.
Well, Dunn hasn't had this captain privilege. Maybe we'll sort something out. But yeah, cheers for coming on.
Thank you very much.
You just listened to episode 2. Get you, head of the curve. I mean, it'd be good if we could get more people to be as cool as you. If you could, like, tell people about it. iTunes, I don't know, put up some, like, Banksy-style gorilla artwork about it. I mean, I'm not asking much. Cheers to Dan Kiss for that. That was good. Next week we have the magnificent Matt Trow. Very good episode. See you in a week.